Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus saying, "Look, Lord, he whom you love is ill." But Jesus heard it, and then he said,
"This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples,
"Let us go to Judea again."
The disciples said to him,
"Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you. You're going to go there again?
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him."
"Lord, if he has fallen asleep, then he will be all right."
Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep.
"Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
"Let us go also, that we may die with him."
When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been dead in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away. And many of the Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed home. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him."
"Your brother will rise again."
"I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day."
"I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
"The teacher is here and calling for you."
And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Judeans who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to Jesus, to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Judeans who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said,
"Where have you laid him?"
They said to him,
"Lord, come and see."
Jesus began to weep. So the Judean said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said,
"Take away the stone."
Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
"Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days."
"Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
"Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come out."
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
"Unbind him and let him go."
Many of the Judeans, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So from that day on, they planned to put him to death. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Those are the first words spoken by Martha to Jesus in today's story, and then later on repeated by Mary. Lord, if you had been here. I can feel her disappointment, her grief, perhaps her feeling of betrayal in these words. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. This week, I tried desperately to shake myself of Martha's words of despair, but they just kept following me as I reflected on our current situation. A week ago, a 21-year-old girl with no underlying health issues dies of COVID-19. Lord, if you had been here, Chloe wouldn't have died. Yesterday, here in Chicago, an infant died of the virus. Lord, if you had been here, this child wouldn't have died. As of this morning, the death toll is over 32,000 worldwide, over 2,000 in the US, and 47 deaths in Illinois alone. Lord, if you had been there, they wouldn't have died. A colleague of mine died of issues unrelated to the virus, but family and friends are unable to gather together and grieve and share stories of his life because of this social isolation. Lord, if you had been there, Bill wouldn't have died. 29-year-old restaurant worker Taylor cannot make rent, has no groceries, and is fearful to even check his bank account, as he has become one of the millions that have lost their job because of the shelter-in-place orders. Lord, if you had been there, Taylor wouldn't be facing homelessness. Medical professionals risk their life by providing care for those affected by the virus because they face a shortage of personal protective equipment. Lord, if you had been here, you could have protected me. We gather together digitally for the third week in a row with no reunification in sight. Lord, if you had been here, we could gather together. There are so many other situations, names, and events that can be named. Lord, if you had been here. And I debated sharing this litany with y'all because perhaps we are looking for church to be that one place that the virus can kind of slip to the back of our minds for just 1 second. Perhaps, like me, you're already bombarded with news and you're thinking, Vicar Paisley, please just give us some hope. Perhaps you don't need to be reminded of these things because you're one of those people who is most vulnerable, or one of those people who is who has lost a loved one, or whose loved one has been diagnosed. Or perhaps you're one of those people who is currently sick. Or perhaps you're one of those medical professionals that is on the front line fighting this pandemic, or one of those who has lost their job and is overwhelmed by anxiety on how the bills are going to be paid and how food is going to be on the table. I debated sharing this litany with you, but then I decided to share because my job as a preacher is to name the reality in which we are living. And further, I believe that there is power in me here on your screen and in this clergy shirt, naming that I am anxious, that I am sad, and that I am a little angry. And that's why I can't help but practically yell, "Lord, if you had been here," because right now, as cases and deaths grow exponentially, it sure feels as though God is absent. Because if God were here, why is God not doing anything? I have to say that I have always struggled with this passage. Yes, it ends in resurrection, but I, like Mary and Martha and all those who gathered that day to grieve, am disappointed. Jesus knew that Lazarus was sick and had plenty of time to get to Bethany before his death. And yet, Jesus uses this as a time to teach some lesson. This is someone's life you are playing with, Jesus. This is someone's family laying their loved one in the grave. This story just feels like Jesus is playing some game with us. And I don't like that kind of Jesus. And yet, even with my fixation this time around on Martha's words of desperation, the words, "Lord, if you had been here," there are still two parts of this story that speak words of hope to me, words that I believe we need to hear today. First, Jesus wept. This is the one time in all of Scripture that we hear that Jesus, that God, wept. Commentator Debbie Thomas spoke of Jesus's tears as perhaps one of the most powerful parts of this passage, as they serve multiple purposes. First, in Jesus's tears, human grief is legitimized. It is clear from the very beginning of this passage that Jesus knows what he is going to do. He knows that Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead. He knows the end of the story. He knows that he is one snap away from raising Lazarus from the dead, and yet he still weeps. Because, friends, even the potential for joy does not cancel out the reality of grief in our world. Jesus weeps out of his love of Lazarus and for the pain that Mary and Martha are feeling. Thomas says, through his tears, Jesus calls us all into the holy vocation of empathy, co-suffering, and lamentation. Jesus says, it's all right to weep. It's all right to grieve. Next, Jesus teaches us to honor the reality of human change. He grieves that things will never be the same. Yes, he will raise Lazarus from the dead, but Mary and Martha and his family and Lazarus himself and perhaps even the entire community will be changed because of this event. This resurrection does not mean that he didn't die once before. So his tears honor the reality of human change. And then when Jesus weeps, he shows us that silence is faithful. That sometimes in the face of suffering, there is nothing to say. Sometimes tears speak louder than words. In a world where we struggle to sit in the pain with one another without trying to fix it or offer solutions or ask them to look to the bright side, we need this reminder from Jesus that sometimes actions speak louder than words. Sometimes those tears and that silence shows love. Jesus's tears and this story in general also teach us that doubt and belief, anger and trust, sorrow and joy can all go together. Thomas says, Martha expresses deep resentment and anger at Jesus's delay, and in the next breath voices her trust in his power. Mary blames Jesus for Lazarus's death, but she does so on her knees in a posture of belief and submission. Likewise, Jesus's face is still wet with his tears when he prays to God and resurrects his friends. This is what real faith looks like. It looks like holding on to belief while also still having doubt. Being able to hold this belief and this doubt, this joy and this sorrow, this anger and this trust, all in tension. That is what faith looks like. Because friends, that doubt, that sorrow, that anger is not the enemy. In Jesus's weeping, we are shown that sorrow is a powerful catalyst for change. This is a story seeped in grief, right? Martha and Mary are grieving. Friends and neighbors are gathered in their house weeping with her. And it is from this experience of death that Jesus cannot help but bring life out of it. Because that is the thing. Jesus weeps, but then Jesus acts. And in doing so, invites us all into that holy work of resurrection. Which leads me to that second thing that I spoke of that gives me hope this week. After Jesus had wept, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to Mary and Martha and all those gathered together, "Unbind him and let him go." He said to them, "Unbind him and let them go." Jesus, in these words, invites those who are with him, those who were only moments ago grieving the death of their beloved. Jesus invites them into this work of resurrection. Now, Jesus could have risen Lazarus, approached him, unbound him himself, but instead there is this invitation to others to strip away those very marks of his death, to free Lazarus, to allow him to become truly and fully alive once again. This is different from some of the other healing narratives in the gospel, where there is the command to the one who is being healed. The man says, "Take up your mat and walk." Or last week's reading where the man was told to go to Siloam and wash. No, instead of some individual doing something to promote their own healing, this time we have the community gathered around becoming co-creators in Jesus's holy and life-giving work. And so that is what I believe the good news in today's gospel tells us. The story tells us that we can be met wherever we are in the midst of this. This story meets us where we are in this global pandemic, in the midst of being in this wilderness, wandering time, where the familiar faces like work, school, and our own church building are not open to us. It speaks to us in the midst of all of this. This story has the power to meet us where we are and says that it is faithful to be right in that particular place. It is okay and it is faithful to be scared and to weep during this time, to weep for all that has been lost, all that will continue to be lost before this is over. It is okay and faithful to grieve how much life has changed in these last 2 weeks and anticipate how differently we may live with one another after all of this is over. It is okay and faithful to be silent during this time. And it is also okay and faithful to be acting right now, like those gathered at the tomb in today's story, unbinding the feet of Lazarus. It is faithful and okay to be keeping yourself busy in the work of bringing life out of death. It is good and it is faithful to be calling government officials, sewing personal protection equipment for medical professionals during this time of shortage. It is good and it is faithful to check in on the vulnerable in your community. It is also okay and good and faithful to be like Martha, angry at Jesus and saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." It is also okay and faithful to be all of these things or none of these things. Because friends, the reality is that we are living in those 4 days. The 4 days between Lazarus's death and Jesus coming to raise him from the dead. During this time, we may weep, we may console, we may keep ourselves occupied and distracted. We may, like Martha, stare out the window waiting for Jesus' arrival. During this time, we wait, we pray, we weep, we act, knowing that the resurrection is just around the corner, even when it seems impossible. Amen.